Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So, Brad, as we record today, Disney has released the opening dates for Rise of the Resistance at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. And the opening date at Walt Disney World, which is December 5th, 2019, is the day before we leave Orlando. Like, so the second to last day of our vacation.
And the last, like, because the last, day of your vacation is called, we've got to pack, you've got to get everything ready, then you've got to jump on the Magical Express 3 hours before you leave. So really, it's the last day of your vacation. Because after that, it's all craziness.
Our return flight isn't till 7:30, so we do kind of have a half day on the last day, but yeah, our last full day. So, and while this does seem like it should be good news, it does kind of feel like we've lost a day of our vacation because we're obviously going to go and do Rise of the Resistance. But, man, I hope it doesn't have, you know, Hagrid's Magical Motorbike Adventure level lines, because I don't want to spend half a day waiting to do this attraction one time.
Well, Flight Passage usually runs about, 3 to 5 hours? 5 hours? Yeah, 5 hours. So, not longer than 5 hours, Jeremy. That's not too bad.
No, but, I mean, Smuggler's Run has really never broken 2. So,
it's not open at Disney World yet.
Yeah, well, but just if we're looking at Disneyland as a you know, at least a little bit of a canary in the coal mine type thing, maybe it won't be so bad, but
well,
yeah, so I really don't want to stand in line for 4 or 5 hours waiting to do this thing one time.
Even if it's a 5 hour wait, as long as you rope drop it, you're done by 1 p.m.
Yeah, that sucks.
I'm trying to give you a positive outlook on this. And
telling me that I can go get in line at 8 and be done at 1 is not a good way to make it sound better.
Man, drive over to Austin and go try to grab some barbecue at Franklin on the weekend. It's about the same weight.
I don't want to. I would much rather go to a place like Le Barbecue that doesn't have a line like that.
Le Barbecue is getting... Wait. We're about to get really off. So... So if Disney, here's the one thing I will say. When I wait in the line for barbecue, I can bring a lawn chair. I can bring a cooler. If Disney let me do that for that 4 or 5 hour wait, it would be a lot more fun. So Disney, pro tip there, let everybody bring lawn chairs and coolers to go.
No way, man. No loose ice.
That's right. No, I just said a cooler. I didn't say you could have loose ice in your cooler. Yeah, no, it's gonna stink in that, yeah, you're going to lose a huge chunk of your day to do this, but you're gonna get to do this, man. You don't have to,
yeah,
you don't have to wait for your next trip whenever that gets to be. And it's perfect. Well, no, in some ways it's perfect timing.
It is. I mean, yes, it is. And I'm not upset. It's just like, that last day is going to, we're already going to be tired. We're already going to be, you know, like winding down. And then it's like, you know, going to probably need to get to Hollywood Studios at least an hour before it opens. Well, and it depends on when the attraction opens too. Is it going to open that morning? Is it going to
closed
until 2?
Like, nah, it's going to open that morning. So yeah, you will have to get there an hour, but just think about it like this. If it was open on the first day of your trip, the crowds would be insane all over Walt Disney World for the entire trip, because all those people who come for that attraction are going to stick around and probably going to go do other things. So I think you have a better chance of missing some of that by, you know, I expect crowd levels to ramp up during your trip, but at least they won't be crazy the whole time. So.
Well, and it's just like, I mean, Disneyland, the opening at Disneyland has been at like ones and twos the whole park. Like all of Disneyland has been at ones and twos, and they're staffed for nines and tens. You know, I've seen videos of they've got cast members playing hopscotch on Main Street because there's nothing for them to do.
Because better just no better one to is have there. Them and not need them than need them and not have them. So.
Well, it says you, the the guest, not their boss. You know, like they're just paying people to play hopscotch.
I think really what you need to do is whatever you have planned for the day before, right? At some point, that day is going to end, and then you just use whatever transportation necessary to go to Hollywood Studios and just go ahead and fall asleep in front of the entrance. And okay. There you go. Now you've got a good place in line. Because yeah. I will bet you money, short of the fact that security probably won't allow that, I'm guessing, you would not be the only person there.
Yeah. And that's why I don't think rope dropping is going to be that helpful. It'll definitely be helpful, but I don't know that it'll be as helpful as, like, you know, oh, we got to walk on. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It'll still be an hour's long wait.
Yeah. You're not walking on, but you've got 2,000 people in front of you instead of 18,000 people in front of you or whatever. Right. I recognize those are higher numbers. I do find it interesting that
that night is our California Grill dinner too.
Oh yeah. So you're going to be all like not wanting to get up the next morning. You're going to have to roll yourself to
Thursday night. The 5th is our
California the Grill. the night that you were supposed to go to. Ooh, are you going to have to miss Fantasmic now? Because this is going to be your Hollywood Studios day.
It's going to have to be one of two.
Yeah. That would actually, you know what? That could even be more beneficial for you.
I mean, we would most definitely do more than one day at DHS. Like, because of how, one, important Tower of Terror is to me,
mm-hmm.
and that park has our two favorite attractions, Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. So we would definitely do more than one day in Hollywood Studios, even if Star Wars Galaxy's Edge wasn't a thing. So that's not going to be an issue. We're not going to miss Fantasmic.
So there's the other nice thing. You already have done everything else.
Yeah, and I don't know if we would have chosen to go to Hollywood Studios on that day, knowing that we wouldn't be able to be there in the evening, because our dinner is at 7:45.
Sure, you would have rather done two Hollywood Studios days where you get to watch Fantasmic twice.
Right.
Or you do Fantasmic one night, fireworks the other night if you wanted to see the fireworks show.
Right. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, that's going to be weird. Claire and I are going to have to talk about that.
There are decisions to be made. So I am still finding it interesting, though, that the Disneyland version was in development before the Walt Disney World version, but now the Walt Disney World version is opening 2019. The Disneyland version is not opening until 2020.
Yeah, well, and according to Jim Hill and Lynn Testa on the Disney Dish podcast, the reason that Rise of the Resistance was delayed at Disneyland was because of issues in building it. You know, there were some like major, not construction issues necessarily, but like infrastructure issues and how the attraction actually works. And so I wonder if they were able to catch those issues more quickly or earlier in the process at Walt Disney World, and the Walt Disney World one's not going to require the extensive overhaul that the Disneyland one will.
So possibly they got to a certain point with the Disneyland one when, ooh, that's not going to work, guys.
Yeah, and we made a huge boo-boo.
Right, let's put the Walt Disney World on hold until we figure out how we're even going to fix this. Okay, now we know our way forward. Let's build Walt Disney World right from the get-go and then figure out what we're going to have to do to fix this whole thing at Disneyland as well.
Or at least closer to the get-go at Walt Disney World.
Right. That all does make sense. So, yeah. Well, we have a launch. We have a date for Rise of the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a date that works with your vacation. Positive, positive yes. vibes, Jeremy. And more yeah. positivity, positive vibes, is you won't have to worry about your phone running out of juice as long as you spend lots of time on the bus now, right?
Yeah. These better be some pretty high output, high wattage chargers. Basically, Disney has announced that there's going to be a new bus fleet coming to Walt Disney World that have, you know, huge portraits of characters on the side, and they look great. And honestly, some of those Disney buses have been needing an overhaul for a while now, so this is going to be pretty good. But one thing that they do have is built-in USB ports underneath some of the seats. So if you're sitting at a seat that has a USB port under it, you can just plug your phone in while you're sitting there on the bus. Which, some bus rides are only like 15 minutes, but some of them are fairly long. So this will, you know, you can never have too many USB ports. That's one thing I've learned in the, you know, like traveling and staying at hotels and stuff. You just never can have too many USB ports. So,
hey, Jeremy, can we get just a little, just slightly geeky?
Sure.
I'm looking at photos of these USB ports, and it says mm-hmm. 4.2 amps. So that should be 2.1 amps per. Isn't that like fast charge level?
That's iPad. Yeah.
Yeah. So
2 amps.
So that should I doubt it's gonna support, you know, QC 3.0 and all that sort of stuff. So you're not gonna get and your 15 minute to 80% or whatever. But you should be able to get a nice jump with these things.
Is that 4.2 amps split across the two of them?
I would. That's kind of what I'm assuming, because there are two of them, and it says USB 4.0 and 4.2 on each one. You have to. It's got to be pretty beefy in the back to support that on each port, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you're probably looking at 2.1 amps at 5 volts, which is 10 watts. So a 10 watt charger is what ships with iPads. So it should charge. It won't fast charge. And I only know how iOS devices charge because I'm an iPhone person, but that won't quote fast charge an iPhone, but it will charge it much quicker than the 1 amp at 5 volt charger that it comes with. You know,
it
that
will,
5
it
watt
will
charger.
Faster charge.
Yes.
It will faster yes. charge your phones.
It yes.
But so I'm looking at these new buses. They've done away with the side-by-side seating. Essentially, mm-hmm. it's all against the wall facing the middle. Mm-hmm. And then the one row along the back, which I don't know.
You have that raised area in the back where the engine is.
Yeah, but even those are now facing each other, right? That used to be where you'd have the side-by-side seating. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't appear to be the case in this bus. So I'm wondering, like, does that mean less seats, which means more standing room, which means more people to fight over the few USB charging?
Yeah.
Bring a long cable on your next trip. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, and this is going to be the same as, like, the seats at the airport that have the plugs, you know, underneath them. It's going to be the few people who get to sit at the good seats and the ones that work, because you know, a year from now when kids have shoved their peanut butter crackers in the USB ports. And
I love that you are so optimistic, Jeremy, that you used the words a year and not 2 weeks after, a day after.
When 90% of these are non-functional, I will still be carrying I have a 13,000 milliamp hour portable battery that I'll still be carrying with me, just in case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to keep bringing my battery, and I'm just going to pretend like the buses still have no way of charging my phone,
yeah.
because that way I won't be disappointed. But
yeah.
I like the fact that they have new buses. I will.
Yes, I am much more excited that the buses are being overhauled and they're going to be newer, nicer buses.
I will admit that the first time I saw the story about them, when it said that they had the Sensational Six, I thought, well, how much use is six buses going to be? They need a lot more than that, because apparently Brad just took leave of his senses for a short period of time.
I had the exact same thought.
Okay, good.
I was like, there's going to be 6 special buses and then 100 non-special buses. That sucks. But
you know what? Speaking of, that's all the more reason why, just because the buses have USB chargers, you should not plan to not bring a battery. Bring a battery. Bring a battery. Yeah. Because I feel like the last trip I took, I'm 90% sure I still saw some buses from the last revision. Because they had the kneeling buses, I'm pretty sure the current revision, prior to this new one.
And the kneeling buses are the ones when they pull up, they go,
yeah, and they can drop down, and if an ECV needs to get on, they can, they just have to flop the deal out, and there's no weird angles and stuff. Yeah, but they still had the buses that didn't have that, so I would be surprised if every bus has suddenly got USB charging and is one of these fancy new buses. I'd love it if that was the case, but I don't think the logistics allow for turning over your entire livery at one time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is that how you pronounce that word? Is it livery?
Livery?
I've always said livery, but I don't know. It's a very strange word.
Livery. Livery just sounds like what you say about some funky tasting food. It's kind of livery.
This says livery. Last week, Disney opened a new restaurant in the Japan Pavilion in Epcot. So I'm a big sushi guy, and I really love Japanese. I love I obviously love the World Showcase, and so this restaurant piqued my interest even before it was open or I saw anything about it. But this is probably the coolest restaurant that is in the World Showcase.
Can we agree that you're going to say the name? Because real time follow up, I did just look up and it's livery.
Oh, cool.
Not livery. You've said it right. I've said it wrong. In my defense, I've had about 9 hours of sleep for the past 2 nights, so I'm gonna blame that, not that I've totally been saying it wrong my whole extensive up to this point life. So what is the name of this restaurant, Jeremy?
So I think it's called Takumi Te. It's a TAKUMI-TEI. I think it's Takumi Te.
Are you sure the dash is silent? Are you sure it's not Takumi Dash Te?
I don't speak Japanese, so I couldn't say. Mm. But dude, this place is so unique. Wish I could afford to eat here, but it's also extremely expensive.
So how does the price, because I haven't actually looked at the menu, which I might be totally pulling up for myself right now. How does the price compare to California Grill?
It's more than California Grill, like higher. It's not ridiculously higher, but it is in general higher. The sushi especially
Sushi. Sushi will always just run through. $130?
Yeah.
That's going to be a hard pass from me.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But you get a traditional tea ceremony with that.
Yeah. No, there's obviously more affordable things. But one thing that I compare it to is when California Grill first reopened, they had a sushi roll that I think was called the Dragon Roll, and it was like $55 or $60. I think this place has a bigger selection because it's a Japanese restaurant, but I don't know this for a fact, but I think the California Grill, you pay more, but you also get more.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying like the size of your portions and things like that are probably higher at California Grill. That's probably true. But man, those things look beautiful.
Yeah, like this is a traditional Japanese restaurant. The tabletops are stone, the bar is stone, like there's paper everywhere all over the walls, paper lanterns, like it's just everything about this place is delicate and beautiful, and the plating is amazing. And
so I'm looking at a picture of that. That's the dessert.
Are you looking at the one with the bubble in it?
Mm-hmm.
The yuzu gel or whatever it is?
No, no, isn't that the one with the water cake or whatever? I don't know. That looks so cool, though. But
it looks like a bubble.
Yeah, yeah, but as you said, all of the plating looks cool. Yeah, this is a place I'd like to eat, but right now I've got a lunch reservation at Le Cellier, and I don't think those are going to be comparatively priced.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to wait to try this one.
And this would be like we can have a dinner at California Grill or have a dinner here.
Well, we can have a dinner at California Grill and a lunch at Le Cellier, or we can have a dinner here.
Yeah.
You're going to talk yourself into it. You have too much time till your vacation. You're going to talk yourself into it.
I would, but the only night we're going to be at Epcot, we already have Le Cellier reservations.
But you've been to Le Cellier before, Jeremy. You haven't been to Takumite. I'm a bad influence, my friend. I'm a bad influence.
If we had park hoppers, I would be way more in danger of talking myself into this. Because honestly, it's not just the food. It's not getting to eat at Le Cellier. You know, it's not getting to be at Disney and have poutine and have that mushroom risotto.
And pretzel bread.
And have the bread and have a bread. Creme brulee. Like, it's not just we've been there. It's like, traditionally, we eat there and we have certain things. And it would be tough to talk myself and my wife, for that matter, out of eating at Le Cellier on this trip. But if we had park hoppers and I could say, like, yeah, we'll go spend a day at Hollywood Studios and then we'll walk over, you know, through the International Gateway for dinner, like, that would be a different story. But this is yet again another thing that having single day tickets is going to save us.
I think what you meant to say was if we only had park hoppers and had robbed a bank recently. Jeremy,
yeah.
I need you to do me a favor, buddy. I need you to just go ahead and end the episode, because if I have to spend much more time talking about poutine and mushroom risotto, I am going to go demolish everything in my kitchen, and that is not good for me, my friend.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.